Welcome to the Jellyfish Wasted Podcast. We're your host.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Gio. Today we'll be talking about the new Saw movie, the possibility of PlayStation games coming to the Epic Games Store, a new season of our favorite anime, and a real-life Team Rocket attempt of stealing Pokemon.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Today's music is Strange Aeons, Aeons?
That's Aeons.
Aeons. What does that mean? Years?
It's a time length, I guess.
Okay, Strange Aeons. The music is by White Bat Audio yet again, and the link will be in the description. So the first topic is the new Saw movie. I know you don't really care for horror movies, right?
I never said I don't care for horror movies.
I thought you just didn't like horror movies.
I love horror movies. What the fuck?
Oh.
I get bored with slashers because all it is like big burly constant man with a knife. Okay. Ah, scary. No, I want truly terrifying.
Then have you
creatures.
Ever seen the Saw? Okay, oh, I gotcha. So you want something that's not doable, because Saw is still just like a serial killer and kidnapping.
Oh, I've seen
stuff.
Saw, and it is gory as fuck. Mm-hmm. I started with Saw 1, Saw 2, and Saw 3. I never saw 4 or 5, or I think there's a 6.
6, one? 7, 8, technically. This is the 9th installment. So this is officially called Spiral from the Book of Saw. It is the 9th installation of my favorite series of all time. It is directed by Darren Lynn Boosman, who directed Saw 2, 3, and 4. They were all good movies. And Darren has also directed a ton of other movies, so he has a lot of talent for horror. And it stars Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson.
Chris Rock. I don't know how serious.
I just think Madagascar.
I don't know how serious he can be, honestly. He's a stand-up comedian. He has been in comedy movies. Hell, as you even said, he's voiced a talking zebra. Can he do horror, do you think?
Well, look, Jordan Peele who did it. Peele? Yeah, no, Jordan Peele specifically. I think he wrote and directed Us and...
What's Us?
That other movie, Us. It was a horror movie. It was like, the cover was like a person with like a mask. It was about like doppelgangers or something like that. I think the concept was really good. I think the execution was really bad. I did not like it. I love his comedy, but I do not think he should write horror movies because it just doesn't... Not everyone could do anything. You know, he's a solid comedian. He's a really good entertainer.
But
when
anything.
It comes to horror movies.
Anyways, back to Spiral.
And so Chris Rock went on record saying that he wanted to expand his acting into the horror movie genre. And I believe that one of the hardest acting genres is horror because it's kind of hard to portray fear, right? It's easy to laugh because, I don't know, but I've always thought that it's really easy to make someone laugh, but it's really hard to scare somebody.
Especially if they're expecting it.
Yeah, so if you're going into a horror movie knowing that it's a horror movie, like, you're going to expect the jump scares, but if you're going into a comedy, they're going to hit you with punchlines and you're going to be like, ah, ha, ha,
anyways.
So this movie premieres this Friday, May 14th, 2021.
Are you going to try and go
see
it?
I'm
going
to go. Yeah, of course. I'll probably go after work or something. That's it for that, I guess. I have all the collections. I think I have 1 through 7. I don't know if I ever bought the 8th one.
See, we focused on Chris Rock. No one is... Honestly, I'm not going to... Quit hitting your mic.
Go ahead.
I'm not surprised that Samuel L. Jackson is also in a horror movie. Like, he's been in action movies. He's been in comedy movies. Samuel L. Jackson...
I don't think I've ever seen him in a romance movie, though. Probably for a reason, I guess.
Wasn't he in,
Jumper?
He was in, what's that movie?
Star Wars?
No.
Snakes on a Plane? Black Snake Moan.
What?
Black Snake Moan. It was about he found some white girl, and he kind of kept her prisoner, I think, for a bit. And she was, like, chained up and stuff. And then he was, like, playing guitar. There's a whole song dedicated. It's called Black Snake Moan. And I don't think they ever, like, fell in love or anything. It's a really old movie. I think...
No, I was thinking more along the lines of... what's that?
Pulp Fiction?
No! The British movie, the one where the one dude goes to buy a suit from the fucking shop and it turns into a whole weapons arsenal.
The, Kingsman movies?
There you go.
Oh, he's not in those, I don't think so. I've only seen the second one. I don't recall him being
in
that
believe
one.
He's in the first one.
He might be, I don't know.
Computer is right there.
He's in everything.
Your computer is right fucking there. Your other computer is now in your hands.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to use the Internet Movie Database. So we're looking up Kingsman Secret Service.
The first Kingsman.
He's in it, yeah. Elton John was in the second one. It was weird.
I mean, Elton John's also done something with the Fall Out Boy.
The band?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't really care for Fall Out Boy. They're okay.
So what are you most looking forward to about this movie?
I want to see where it takes place, because I feel like since this is kind of it. Okay, so supposedly it's supposed to. There's a copycat killer yet again in the Saw movie. So they're.
I mean, originally it wasn't a copycat killer. You had Jigsaw, and then you had then you had the chick.
In the second one, or from then on, the franchise Amanda takes over. To I don't want to spoil too much because I want people to watch this movie, but yeah, that happens, and then the fourth one, and then like.
I just gotta say. My favorite thing, I love the fact that the people that made Dead by Daylight partnered with the Saw or with
For the pig mask killer.
That's Amanda.
Yeah,
she has a hidden blade and everything.
Yeah, well, it started off as Jigsaw first, and then it became her icon. I used to have they used to sell those at Party City and shit.
The pig mask.
Well, the whole costume, I love it. It's in the Saw game for a 360 that I have. It's pretty cool to like see it just. It's that image alone, I think, represents Saul really well.
The pig mask, the hidden blade, the leather.
And just the body thing. It's just like, if you saw that, would you not shit yourself? Like, just lightning. All right. Well, I don't want to talk about Saul too much. I mean, I would love to, but... So, now on to the next one. This is from VG247, Video Game 24/7 website. The article is by Sharif Said. So Epic Games supposedly offered Sony $200 million to bring forth their exclusives to their game store. It's important to note that Horizon Zero Dawn released on both Steam and Epic Games Store in August of last year. And Epic Games has also reached out to Microsoft, but there's issues because Microsoft already wants to put some of their games onto their Game Pass. So they reached out to the publishers and developers that are already partners with Epic Games.
So I think the Game Pass is... where they go through their weekly repertoire of a free game.
Kind of, yeah, like monthly, like, though.
On Epic Games, every week, there's another free game. Currently, it's Pine. 2 weeks ago, it was Alien Isolation. So you've got, like, big AAA games and indie games in equal parts as free.
Well, and also now that Microsoft teamed up with Bethesda, that would mean that they would be bringing forth, like, all of those games onto the Epic Game Store, and then it feels like it would just monopolize all the stuff. Because I think Nintendo's still holding back on partnering for
Nintendo's never going to produce... Okay, so Nintendo does have certain games on other... on another thing. Like, you can... but it's all mobile.
Mario Run and...
you got Mario, Pokemon, you have Fire Emblem, you have fucking...
Pokemon Go, Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah, you have all these iconic things on your phone. They will not port anything to PC. Everything emulators. That you find on PC is emulated. They will not put anything on Xbox, and they sure as hell will never put anything on Sony.
Hell no, they've been competitors since... Nintendo created Sony, essentially... with the Philips CGI or whatever, the Philips CD add-on.
So, if Nintendo... don't get me wrong, I would love, love to see, like, Pokemon or Legend of Zelda played on an Xbox. Like, that would be so cool to see, just because of the high quality that Xbox can,
like...
that's
true, yeah, but that's one... but that's the thing, that, like, if Nintendo wanted to do more quality, they probably could. But Nintendo's always focused on...
no.
Content.
Game Freak. My problem, there's a huge issue with Game Freak and Pokemon.
No, I know, but that's something specifically. Like, that's because they don't want to do it, but like...
they don't know how to optimize.
For Super Mario Odyssey and stuff, like Super Mario Odyssey could be... or not Super Mario Odyssey. I forget what it is, but I've seen a lot of talk about it on YouTube, like how some... Nintendo's always focused on the quality of the game, like the... gameplay itself, other than trying to be the top notch. Like, look at I think it's like the Wii, right? When the Wii was going against the PS3 and the Xbox 360, those consoles were like amazing in like what they could like stream and stuff, but then the Wii kind of still settled on like just updated GameCube graphics, but they still released all the good games, so it was still worth playing, and you know.
And then the Wii U dropped, and they continued to focus heavily on story, but ported over the graphics.
I think the good thing that the Wii U did was it ported over, it started some porting for third parties or whatever, so like Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, Call of Duty, like, obviously I wouldn't get those on the Nintendo console because I have the other consoles, but if I don't have any other consoles, I can't play Doom anywhere else.
I just find it odd that Bayonetta 2 was specifically made for the Wii U.
I think they just bought the rights from it, because now it's a Nintendo character, I believe.
Bayonetta, the chick that gets naked because her attacks all involve her hair. What was she, like,
PlayStation 2 or something, I think, at first?
She was
PlayStation, I think.
PlayStation, Xbox.
I don't think she was on Xbox?
Yeah.
No. I have to play those games still.
You can also get it on Steam.
I have to play those games.
Start with one. Don't do your normal stupidity and go from two to one.
Well, I wouldn't do that. Look, again, Red Dead Redemption 2, the reason I did that was because it's a prequel, so it happens before Red Dead Redemption 1 anyways.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, I didn't know. Look, now that I know, I can start from the beginning. But if I play a game for the first time and try it here...
No, if it's Red Dead... All right, for example, Red Dead and then Red Dead 2. Doesn't matter if Red Dead 2 is a prequel. It has a 2 in the title. Meaning there's going to be mechanics that you have in the second one that you didn't have in the fucking first one. Don't go backwards.
All right, but look, I wasn't expecting to play. I wasn't expecting to like it. So the fact that I took a whim and it worked and I loved it, and then it made me want to go back and play the first one. What if I play the first one and I didn't like the first one, and then I'm not going to want to play the second one? So sometimes I think it's good to just jump into the newer shit. And
the only game that I will say go backwards in it is Borderlands. Just because Borderlands 2 was so much...
I don't know. I don't like...
So much better than Borderlands 1.
Well, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant the other way around. I thought you were saying the only game that is better backwards. I gotcha.
Oh, no. There's a lot of games that are better going backwards. Like Halo, for instance. 1 is... So everybody loves 2, everybody loves 3. I feel like 1 is still the best one because...
I still don't like the aiming or the lack of...
There is no lack of aiming.
Well, the majority of the guns don't have scopes and stuff. And when I jumped
into
Destiny...
In real life, you're not going to have a fucking trigger to aim down sights.
That makes sense. Yeah, but even then with the pistol, you can still go just a little tip right there, you know? There's downsides to at least... I don't know.
You do realize in every first-person shooter, when you aim down sights, you're essentially getting a 1.5 zoom, right?
But it's better than nothing.
No! It's actually conditioning you to think, oh, I get a closer zoom if I aim down a real fucking weapon.
Yeah, but no one shoots like this. Actually, I think they do, I guess. But if I shot...
If you're aiming...
Close my eye, it still gives me better perception.
No, you're not supposed to close your eye when aiming down sights. You're supposed to have both eyes open so you have,
right there.
Have the cross. Because if I'm looking at you and this is covering... Then, if I were to pull the trigger, that bullet is going right where both of my eyes are meeting.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because otherwise it's going to go like...
Because if I'm like this, you can be like here, see this, and the round could go up there. That's the problem with closing your eyes. That's why you keep both eyes open when aiming down sights. That is why it makes no fucking sense that when you pull that other trigger... To aim down sights, it gives you a 1.5 zoom. You're not supposed to be looking closer. It's supposed to be helping you see.
Well, that's probably why, because I've been conditioned with Call of Duty. So Call of Duty gets me... Call of Duty is pretty accurate to their guns, but I guess it's just kind of a handicap. But I just prefer that playstyle. So, and that's why Destiny did so well for me. But jumping into Halo was like... It felt weird. Alright, well...
Besides, you can't aim down sights with an alien weapon anyways.
That makes sense, I guess.
Because this is a weapon.
That just sounds like all lore.
You mean to tell me this plasma pistol that looks like a fucking sea that doesn't even have a iron sights, you're gonna aim down a sight that isn't even there.
Do it in Destiny, whatever gun you pick up, I guess. I can't think of any other alien gun games off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's some. So, let's move on to Overlord. So we finished Overlord. I finished Overlord recently. That's like what you're, I don't know how many times finishing that.
That was my fourth time finishing that series.
So this article is from Funimation. You should be watching. By Kathleen Townsend. So it's a statement from the director of Madhouse. I'm going to butcher his name. Naoyuki Itao.
Let me see.
Oh, I can't move my whole laptop over.
Hold up.
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. Naoyuki Itao?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So his quote was, "At last, the fourth season of the anime and the theatrical movie are in production." Which you already knew, apparently, but I just found out. So the movie is expected to depict the Holy Ark, the Holy Kingdom arc, which, again, I don't know because I haven't read the manga. Have you read that much, or have you heard of it at least, I guess?
I've read a bit of the manga, but most of my exposure to Overlord has been through the anime.
Mm.
So if you pay attention to, like, when they're speaking, at the end of the season, it will say, "Hey, this is what we plan to do next." And then the season ends. Like, when season one was transitioning into season two, you heard them talking about there is a village of lizard men.
Yeah.
And then the season ended. And then come season two, hey, we're introduced to lizard men. So they explain in the anime what they plan on doing next.
I'm excited. I think it took you so apprehensive to even start watching
this anime.
It's just because I don't like committing to a full anime. It's a lot to commit to. It's a lot of story, a lot of back arc. Like, it's a lot of shit that's woven into to become one giant story. So it took me, I think, up to the beginning of season three to really get tied into everything, because it started, like, the one season was about, like, that group of, like, soldiers and stuff, right? And I was like, I didn't give a shit about these people. But then once it tied into, like, the rest of it, I was like, oh, okay, now it makes sense. And that holds true for a lot of anime. Like, Naruto, I think, was good from the beginning. From the very beginning, it's been good. JoJo, the first two seasons, shit. But because I had seen it ahead and saw season three, I was like, I already know where its potential goes. So it was a pain in the ass to have to keep up with the first two seasons, to put up with that just to understand where it takes to. But once you get to season three, the rest is just beautiful.
So what do you most look forward to with Overlord season four?
I want to see more of Abido.
Albedo?
Albedo is amazing. She was barely in the episodes.
What about Albedo do you enjoy? Because there's a lot of art about that one.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Honestly, I prefer Sheltier. Yeah, she's got a hideous vampire side, but she's got personality. She is funny.
The insect chick. She's cool.
She is the best maid. I was even saying, like, she is my favorite maid. And you're like, why?
Well, because she didn't do anything yet, but I like her weapons. I like how she just, like, pulls shit and she's like...
She's an insect.
Really cool. She's really cool.
She uses a fucking millipede as an iron whip.
The thing is, I didn't know how much I enjoy this anime until I started writing the article about it, and then I was like, oh, like, I can't wait for, like, season four. I just want to see what happens. So that's cool, though. I like getting into new animes because now I understand. There was actually there was a meme I saw that was of Ein Zul Gul.
Ulgon. Ein Zul Gon.
Ein
Zul Ul.
Ein Zul
Gon.
Oh, shit, man. Maybe I deleted it. I forget what it was, but it had a picture of him in it, and it was pretty funny. Maybe I shared it on Facebook or something. So, yeah, there's no official release date for that, but I'm hoping maybe we'll see a trailer before the end of the year, right?
Hopefully.
All right. Whoops.
I'm just curious to know if there's going to be more, like, players from Yggdrasil, which is where he comes from.
That would be cool. Okay, so look. Okay, so you don't know too much ahead, right? Like, you haven't... Okay, cool. So you can't spoil anything for me. I didn't want to ask because I thought maybe you knew how it ended. I want to find out if he goes back to the real world or not.
I don't think he can. I don't think it's possible for him. Because I think his soul has been dispositioned.
At that point, I think so, yeah. Because he has the thing.
He has that aura. It's too noisy. No, but I think because of how he because of where he is now, I don't think he has a possibility of coming back to the reality he came from. I think because he fell asleep in a dive system, his mind was transferred to the body. And when the server was shut down, maybe the world got transferred to another reality altogether. Because we don't know what happens when we shut down servers.
Yeah, it's true, I guess. That's a cool concept, though. It kind of reminds me of Wreck-It Ralph. Like, when they, like if they, in the first one, when they unplug, maybe first or second, I don't know what it is, but like, when they unplug the game, like, they try to trap them in there. So if they didn't escape, they would have been trapped in the game. Of course, you know, video game characters aren't in real life and whatnot, but like,
I wish they were.
That works there. So the next and last article is, there was a man arrested for a Pokemon card heist. Did you hear about this at all?
I did not. What?
All right, so the article is from IGN.com, and it's from Joseph Knoop. So, Tokyo resident, another butchering, Kensuke Nakanishi, descended from a 66-story rooftop, traversing into a store at around 5 a.m., and he stole about $1 million worth of yen, which is roughly over $9,000.
Shut the fuck up.
It was like 9,300 and something, but I wanted worth of Yu-Gi-Oh cards and Pokemon cards, and he either used thief or payday to steal $2,370 of cash from the store office. His move was, of course, super effective. He would have gotten away with it, but he was identified from the security cam footage. This was back in March, like 30th, so it took like well over a month for him to get caught. And Nakanishi apparently did rock climbing in high school, so using the rope was no challenge for him, which is pretty impressive.
But why? What was his motive?
Oh, he said he was paying off debts or something, so he needed money to pay off the debts. And now I know what I'm going to do if the purge happens. I'm just going to break into places and steal Pokemon cards, because especially with now how hard it is to get Pokemon cards nowadays. Like,
I mean, that's if that whatever house you're breaking into fucking even has a rare card like that.
Well, so Leon Hart, the guy that I watched shout out on YouTube, he has a story where he was saying that he actually got robbed once some of his cards, and that's why he doesn't keep, anytime he does like an unboxing thing, he discloses that he does not have that stuff at his house. So I think he has like in storage or something, so it doesn't happen again. I mean, it makes sense if someone wants a card enough to do it.
I mean, I guess I just don't understand the whole novelty of trying to steal this card. I mean, I guess, sure, if it's like worth $300,000, like that stupid ass Charizard card, like what the fuck.
So I guess now that it's been years, I probably can't be convicted, but when I was before I was even a teen, I think I was like 10 or 11 years old, I'd stolen a couple Pokemon cards and a couple Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Like, I remember one time I was at Toys R Us and I took like a whole pack from one of the decks and then put it in my shoes, like, just right under there, and just kind of walked. I think I made my way to the bathroom and then, like, put it, like, in my underwear because it was in the protective covering. And then one time, my friend and I, my old best friend, back in, like, 5th grade, maybe 6th grade, we took a Joey deck, like a $24 deck or something, took it into the bathroom. Before they had the whole do not take merchandise with you into the bathroom, we took it in there, opened up in the bathroom, and, like, took some of the cards, pocketed it, and threw it out, I think, in the trash or something like that. And then I've stolen Magic cards before, too, because I was going to try to resell them to friends. And then I got caught, and then my dad made me... He told me he was going to make me take them back, and I almost lost it, because I was like, oh, God, like, I'm going to get arrested. I think I was, like, 9 or 10, but, you know, still. And then,
What were you going to sell them for, a quarter a card?
I don't know. I think it was worth, like, $20 for, like, a whole, like, deck starter thing, so... I don't know. I don't even know who I would have sold it to. I barely knew what Magic was at the moment. I barely know what Magic is now. I mean, we've played a couple times, but yeah, we'll play again at some point.
Yeah, when we have our own place.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
That way we could have an actual fucking straight up Magic night.
That's true, yeah, but no one else plays, but that's alright, I guess. But then you can watch George and I play Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, I know, but you can still, we duel really, I should have brought my Yu-Gi-Oh cards too, man. I have a lot of extra cards, so if you want to build a deck, I have that there.
You have old Yu-Gi-Oh.
I have new ones, too.
You don't understand new Yu-Gi-Oh?
I don't, but whatever. Just old. It's not like Pokemon. Pokemon hasn't changed. Maybe some of the rules do, but like it stays the same basic game just like it does throughout the games, and I appreciate that. But with Yu-Gi-Oh, it's just like... You told me once, right? Like, at this, you can win in, like, one duel. Like, in one turn. And that's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it is bullshit. I've done it. I have... especially if you're running a trains deck, which, by the way... allows you to get out this giant cannon that will, it's an
X, like a direct life point.
It's an XC's summon card. You called XYZ.
Well, I've never heard anyone say it out loud.
Because you aren't in the current syndicate. But you can XC summon this giant fucking cannon, remove one material, burn your opponent for 2,000 health. When you only start with 8,000, that's a lot of hurt right there.
Yeah.
And then you can immediately sync, or I think it's another XC summon. You can play another card, XC summon another card that has a bigger cannon on it, remove one material, boost this one card to 6,000 damage, go to your attack phase.
And done. Game over.
Game over. That's a one-turn kill.
But that's no fun. I mean, sometimes when we play Magic, it's taking
me... See, that's what I bitch about to my friend most of the times, like... The fuck is the point of this? This isn't fun.
It's about the build-up. It's about, like, building up your team and, like, slowly taking out enemies. Like,
But in the current meta of Yu-Gi-Oh!, first of all, it is not newcomer. It's not newcomer-friendly. It is not. My friend has gone on record saying that. Some of the pros have gone on record saying that.
Hell yeah.
It is not friendly to newcomers. Secondly, Magic also isn't really
friendly. It's because of like the reach and the fly, and
you gotta know reach, haste, fly, stampede.
Yeah, I think right.
It's a trample.
Yeah.
You gotta know what a wall is. You gotta know it's a whole thing. Pokemon isn't even beginner friendly anymore.
No, just because you have to. There are rules you have to
learn. Well, actually, there is a new thing going about now. Since Pokemon is experiencing a resurgence, they've redone some things, and now there is...
The basics, right?
If you've noticed anything on YouTube about Pokemon... Academy now.
No, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a new thing for the card game where it teaches new players how to play the game.
Well, so I bought... Two of the packs that I have, the starter decks now for Sun and Moon, I kind of told you before, but I'll reiterate for the podcast. It comes numbered like 1 through 30, so if you shuffle it out of order, you can reorganize it, and it comes with like a booklet, so it tells you step by step what hand you would draw and what you would do with that card, and usually it starts you off with like 3 energies and like 2 Pokemon. That way you can summon a Pokemon and then have an amount for the attacks or whatever, but... It teaches you how to play, so you can learn right then and there. I watched a video by Jay Witz like a long time ago to try to learn how to play Pokemon, and it was so much explaining. I was just like, I'm just gonna collect.
Honestly, that's what most people do nowadays. Yeah,
but I've never collected. I mean, I have collected Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but I've always played them. Because it's the same. Why would you collect Magic cards when you can play them too? You know.
I mean, I know how to play them, but I also do collect them because a lot of the artwork is really pretty. Some of these cards
that's
are
how I feel about
fucking
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Rare. You just got me a Gardevoir card, and
it's pretty.
I would never use that in a deck.
Exactly. That's why, I would never use any of these Pokemon. I mean, I have my Yu-Gi-Oh deck, which still are pretty cards, and I try to keep them in good condition, but they're definitely heavily played.
See, that card you got me will never play. It will never be put in a deck, specifically because, it has its normal...
The top thing?
It has its normal Pokemon... shtick, like two attacks, how much energy costs, its health in top corner. However, this is a full body card. It's a full holo card, and it has all 3 generations of Gardevoir. It's got Ralt, Curlia, and Gardevoir on it. I will never play Pokemon. This card will never see play, at least not from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will keep it because I love its art. I love the Pokemon. And it's just a really cool looking card.
I mean, all the rare cards that I'm going to acquire now through, like, the packs once I do the opening. So I have my YouTube channel. That's So Giorgio or Jellyfish Wasted. Either one can be found. And we're thinking of collabing to do, make it easier to put content out, right? So, like, you can put, once we have a place and stuff, you can use the Elgato. And once you have these mics at the place, then we can have the own mics and then bring them in the room when we need them to record or whatever, right? So that means I'll be able to record my content, upload my content, you can upload yours, and then we can upload content together. That way we're going back and forth, right? So I'm going to do a subset or whatever, sub-channel part. I'm not going to be doing Poketubes or whatever, Poketuber, because it's not going to be all Pokemon. But I am going to do an unboxing of the Shining Fates box that I got for Eevee, the Shining Fates pack, and a couple other booster packs and decks that I have. And all those, when I find the rare ones, they're going to go straight into the sleeve. I'm not going to play any of them at all. And whenever I don't use, just going to go into the box to get organized.
Yeah.
I am excited, though. And I just hope it's not impossible to find Pokemon cards. Because there are kids out there who want to play. And, like, imagine their parents are trying to go out and buy them just Pokemon cards so they can just play, and everything's sold out. I went to Target yesterday, one pack in the entire wall. 8 a.m., first thing in the morning, gone. Walmart has nothing.
GameStop's. You could go to Best Buy. They carry cards, too.
Yeah, but the closest Best Buy is like 30 minutes from here.
Fair.
Not that, I mean, I was out in York anyways for work, so that was out by basically where it is. So
to end
the
out,
pineapple
to end out this episode, last time we were talking about whether or not pineapple belongs on pizza, and I gave my statement where yes, I believe it does. It can add a great abstract to the salty with the sweet. You were saying no, it doesn't belong. And you were saying, like, you don't want fruit on pizza. Here's something kind of funny that I just recently learned. So, everyone bitches about pineapple on pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a such thing as kiwi on pizza.
Look, I'd have to say I have to be open-minded because the pineapple pizza worked. So, now, I'd have to be willing to try it. I'm probably not going to like it, but I'm not against it now, I guess.
Now, is it the pineapple that... Was it the pineapple on the pizza that you were against, or was it the specific combination that I had ordered?
No, your combination would have worked. It's just, I've never been one for ham on pizza, because I feel like ham belongs in, like, sandwiches. So ham on anything else, I feel
what
like...
What do you think Canadian bacon is?
Well, yeah, but that's a whole different thing. Like, specifically, I felt that ham didn't belong in pizza and pineapple didn't belong in pizza, so Hawaiian is just a big no-no for me. I still don't want to go out of my way to ever get Hawaiian pizza, but if there's a pizza party and the last slice is Hawaiian pizza, I'll eat it.
I didn't get Hawaiian pizza, though.
Well, no, it worked with whatever the hell you got. You got onions and
onions,
mushrooms,
ham, pineapple, and Alfredo sauce, I believe.
Yeah.
As instead of the marinara. So it was like you were eating...
I don't know what the fuck
that would be.
I don't know, but it worked. It was good. At the end of the day, I still think it's wrong, and I'll never go out of my way to order it, but if it's already on the pizza, I'll eat it.
Well, you also,
it worked.
You need to try just base ham, pineapple, marinara, cheese.
Oh, that sounds gross. See, even though I already had it, I'll try it.
You didn't have that. You had Alfredo, mushrooms, onions.
Yeah. Well, I think the ham works if it's cooked enough. Because I think the way we had it for that pizza, it wasn't like burnt like bacon pieces and stuff, but mm-hmm. It was cooked enough for it worked.
It was warm.
But I would never eat pineapple cheese and ham alone, I feel like. Like, think like a pineapple sliced like a ring.
So was it the onion and mushrooms that kind of balanced out that flavor?
I don't really know. I like onions. I don't love onions, but I like same thing with mushrooms. I like mushrooms, but I don't love mushrooms. I'll never eat a plain mushroom by itself. It has to be cooked in something or be with something to be eaten. I'll never chop up a mushroom and then just pick up a piece and no. It's not good on its own. It's got to be cooked in this shit.
It tastes too earthy to you?
I guess. I mean, mushrooms are... When I worked at Olive Garden and we were making the stuff, seafood stuff mushroom, I had to rinse all the mushrooms out, like, in the colander before I put the seafood and stuff in it, and they were really gross. Like, when I think about it, when I cut up the mushrooms and you see the little... What's the word for those things? Like, the membrane and stuff? The little black, like, segments all around it? It looks like the bottom of, like, a centipede. When I think about it that much, mushrooms are really gross. Like, the concept of them, we're eating fungus, but it's good, so I guess whatever, right? Weren't you talking? No, it wasn't you. Okay, so shout out to our friend Ryan. When I was down in Virginia this past weekend, he was talking about the concept of food. He was like, isn't it weird how we just eat stuff and then we just absorb it into like our bodies? And he's like, how does that even work? And I was like, proteins. He's like, but you can't just explain it with one word. And I was like, well.
I mean, this is also coming from the dude that wants to fight tooth and nail against eating anything he hasn't eaten before.
He just stays in his comfort zone, I guess.
How did he get there? How did he get there in the first place? How would he have learned about any of this food if he didn't try it for the first time?
I don't know. I mean, some people aren't down to eat. Like, okay, so speaking of down to earth, funny enough, there was a show on Netflix with Zac Efron called Down to Earth, and they went out to like all around the world, and I learned a lot of cool stuff. It was a really cool show. And they eat all this weird stuff. Like, the majority of stuff I wouldn't have tried. Like, there was, like, you know, in Emperor's New Groove, like, they get served, like, the
beetle,
the caterpillar or whatever. Yeah, like, they sell those, like, kind of maggot looking things that, like, they look like you would, like, smash them and, like, toothpaste would come out or something. They look gross, and I would never eat them. I would never eat a beetle, whether it was fried or cooked or deep fried or nothing. I don't think I would, but if I was at a table and everyone else is eating it, I'm going to have to try it at least, because I feel like it's polite. You know, you can't, it's an insult to culture to like reject stuff like that, but I would never go out of my way to eat it. It just sounds, is it even considered meat? Like, is insect
it's
considered
protein.
Meat? Yeah, but is it?
Yeah, it's considered meat.
It's not flesh, right?
No, it's considered meat. They have insect farms, specifically because insects reproduce quickly. They
take up like little to no space.
They produce little to no waste.
Me too.
And they are very easy to maintain. Whereas cows,
They eat,
they fart, they shit, they destroy our atmosphere.
Yeah, same with pigs, methane.
Mm-hmm. So, people have been looking to alternative farms, and it's been coming closer and closer to bugs. And a lot of people don't want to hear that shit, but wake up. It's gonna fucking happen. You can't stop it. We need an alternate food source.
I don't know. We'd have to see.
I'm telling you.
If I was somewhere and they're serving it, like, as part of the food, maybe, I couldn't tell you anything that I'd eaten that's come
close
is,
to... There is a civilization out there that their version of rice...
Maggots, right?
Yeah. Little white maggots. And they eat them while they're still alive.
Definitely pass. I feel like I'd puke before I... Do you remember...
How do you know it tastes bad?
I don't know that it would. It's just the psychology of... Okay, look. If you were put in a situation of cannibalism, say that you were fed something and you didn't know it was human, after you find out, would you feel like you'd be physically sick? Because... You've never eaten... A lot of animals eat their own kind all the time, but humans...
I told you this
made illegal.
When I ate dog.
Yeah, but dog doesn't...
I didn't know I was eating dog at the time.
Yeah, but it's
And then
still...
when I found out that I was eating a dog, I felt fine. It was still food. Food is food.
Well, see, for me that would work differently, but that's just the mentality of it, I guess. But I'm...
It's survival.
I mean specifically for humans, though. Usually humans don't eat other humans. Like
I probably wouldn't feel sick.
Really? I would feel sick. What? I had this talk before, and it almost made me, like, pale because I just started thinking of consuming my own matter, and then I don't know. I feel like there's a science behind it. I've seen a video on it before, like how to. There's like websites to
have.
Have
you ever like bit the side of your fingers, chewed on your nails?
Yeah, the hanging nails.
Like, and there's
never
also
eaten it though. Or just spit it out.
Like, have you ever bitten the inside of your lips? Kind of just torn it a bit.
Yeah.
That and swallowed that.
Not the piece, I assume, but maybe. I don't know.
Have
but
you
it's
ever,
not the same thing. It's not
have
like
you ever,
muscle.
Have you ever tasted and swallowed your own blood?
Yeah.
That's
it tastes like iron.
That's a form of cannibalism.
I don't think of it to myself, though.
That is yourself, though.
Is it count as cannibalism?
It's produced inside your
my,
body.
Like, if my leg fell off and I cooked my leg, would that count as cannibalism to myself?
That's self-cannibalism. That's still eating human flesh.
That's true, I guess. Let's see. No, apparently not. It says cannibalism is the act of consuming another individual of the same species as food. Cannibalism is as common as ecological interaction in the animal kingdom and has been recorded in more than 1,500 species. Yeah, human cannibalism is well documented both in ancient and recent times.
It's illegal as fuck, but at the end of the day,
I don't think it's illegal. I think it's legal if you have written consent. Like if someone says that you can like do it, I think you can do it.
No, it's illegal.
Yeah, I don't know.
But at the end of the day, survival is survival.
Yeah, but if I was in a room with my cat and my dog, I would die of starvation.
I would
eat my
not.
Pets.
I would not.
I couldn't do that.
That's a debate for another time.
Yeah, I think I'm too spiritual to do anything like that.
No, as long as you use up every part of the animal.
I guess.
The mindset of the Indians, or the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Nothing goes to waste. Every part is used.
Well, yeah, that's how it would work, but for, I don't know. I feel like there's too much attachment.
I love Ilo. I love Izzy. If it was me starving to death or feeding on my dogs,
I would starve.
I'd feed on my dog. And I would make sure to use every part of my dog.
The dogs
I would use
meat.
I would use their pelt as a coat. I will use their meat as sustenance. I will find a use for their organs. Nothing would go to waste.
I don't think I could handle it. I feel like I'd cry, I'd become depressed, I would spiral, I would emotionally be broken, my soul would be tainted.
Well, the thing about it is, as a human, you seek out companionship. If you eat your only companion, then you feel at a loss.
Well, yeah, that's why if you have a farm animal, you're not supposed to name them and shit, because they're food. But that's the whole point. But if I have a pig and I name a pig, I'm not going to eat it, you know? But if one of my friends had a pig, and everyone always was like, oh, you know, when she gets big, are you going to eat her or whatever? But she wasn't planning on it, and I don't know.
Honestly, pigs are kind of cute.
They are. But that's why I want to get a cow, so I can get a cow and keep that one as a pet, because I already eat a lot. I eat beef every single day of my life, so I don't know. I guess we can wrap up the episode there.
I feel like I'm gonna get a lot of hate for that last statement, but you know what?
Maybe it's your opinion. So
it's my opinion. It's my survival.
All right, let's see. So this is episode 11. We are cutting close on episode 12 for the season finale, and then we'll probably gonna take a short hiatus just to like work on everything that we got to work on. Follow us again on Twitter. It's JF Wasted Podcast. Find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Apple Podcast, Overcast, and Anchor. Shout out to the listeners in New Jersey listening to this, Canada, France. It's like 1%, but that 1% matters.
Jesus Christ.
It's always great to have new people. We were talking earlier today about how long we've come from January to here, just equipment upgrading, quality upgrading, content, everything.
Doesn't mean we aren't any less controversial with some of our fucking opinions.
Yeah, but that's the whole point, I guess.
Fair. It's our podcast. If you don't like it, don't listen.
Exactly. All right, well, we have been your host.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Gio. And
we'll see you later.
Yeah.